Does anyone know what Christian season we are in now? Does anybody know? Oh, if you were those online, if you were here this morning, you heard a variety. You would have heard a variety of answers. It is. All right, I shouldn't. So sometimes you open the floor, and there's sometimes you shouldn't. That might have been one I shouldn't have done it. That's what I'm thinking. But anyways, yes, we are in the season of Lent. And are we talking about the stuff that gets trapped in your dryer? No. Or for the kids, the youngins, you know, stuff that gets trapped in your belly button? No. And I had to go there, right? What about, I lent a tool to my neighbor, and I haven't seen it for weeks and months and months. Are we talking about that? No, absolutely, we are not talking about that. What is Lent? I'm so happy that you asked that. I am bringing back, for one time only, I feel like I'm a used car salesman or something, for one time only, I'm going to bring back an installment, if you will, in our What and Why series. I heard a lot of good feedback from that. That it was very helpful and informative and encouraging in your faith. And so I thought this would be a great time to do what and why again. And so that's where we're at. So what is Lent? Why has it been practiced? Why might it be good for us to observe in some way in our faith today? So many years later from when it started. So that's the journey that we are on today, and I think if you asked a number of people what is Lent, you may get a general kind of theme that would say, well, it's a time when you give something up leading up to Easter. And like, well, what is it? Oh, I don't know, but you give something up. You just, you know, and you just sacrifice for that, right? And that's not completely wrong. It's just an incomplete answer. And so I want to try to complete the answer a little bit today and get us learning a little bit more. Because I do want to encourage you as a follower of Jesus, as a Christian, that if you would like to observe the season of Lent, that you, or maybe you already are, because that you'd be encouraged to do so and know why you would be doing that, right? So, I'll say up front that Lent is not something that the Bible says Christians are supposed to do. It's not something that makes you a better or worse Christian if you don't observe it. It doesn't validate your faith in any way. It's just an observance that you can use to help in your faith leading up to Easter. And what do you mean by that? And so let me give an answer to that today. So the big question, so what is Lent? And I would give a real simple answer to say that it's a 40-day season of spiritual preparation for a spiritual celebration. 40 days of preparation for a celebration. That's the short and the skinny of it. And since its beginning, it's been used as a celebration to prepare for Easter. Now, I'm going to talk to you about where it sort of came from, but one of the big questions when it comes to Lent is, how do you get 40 days? How in the world? Because I know it starts on Ash Wednesday, and I can do the math, and when you get to Easter, that's more than 40 days, so how do you get 40 days of Lent? And so I want to unpack that real fast, real simple. If you love math, dial in. If you don't, just don't fall asleep. But sometimes it's a very valid question. We just want to know. And so what we do, here's how you do it. It's simple. You start on the Saturday of Easter weekend, and you go back 6 weeks. That puts you at 6 times 7 is what? 42. That puts you at 42. All right. Well, here's the thing, though. When you are fasting, which has historically been a part of Lent season, 40 days, you don't fast on Sundays because Sunday is a celebration day. We celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and so we don't fast on Sunday. So you got to knock those out. So there's 6 Sundays out of the picture, right? Well, that puts you at 36 days, and the church said Lent would be 40 days. So you have to add 4 days, so you got to go back in time. And so if you that takes you to Wednesday, and so there's your 40 days, right? And so what the church did was say that Wednesday will be called Ash Wednesday. And then the church said, we're going to put ashes and the sign of a cross on the foreheads of Christians who come to worship with a spirit of repentance as a symbol that we are sinners in need of the salvation and forgiveness that only God can give through Jesus Christ. And it is my responsibility to come with a penitent, or let's say sorrowful heart, that I have sinned against God and asking God's forgiveness. Right? So that's kind of the heart of it. And so there you have your 40 days of Lent. Short and simple, to the point. Now, in the early days, I'm talking back way back when the Christian church just started. And it's getting rolling, right? So Jesus ascended to heaven. The Holy Spirit has come at Pentecost. And woohoo, here we go. We're off and running. And the church leaders used what they were considering Lent as a spiritual preparation for a person's baptism. So if somebody was getting baptized, then they would take, instead of 40, if that time was only 3, and they would take 3 days, and they would fast for 3 days leading up to their baptism. Well, then the Roman Catholic Church said, we think it ought to be different than that, and we think it ought to align with the 40 days that Jesus went into the desert. Do you remember the story where Jesus, he prayed and he fasted for 40 days? And at the end of 40 days, it said he was hungry, right? So as he goes out, a time of prayer and a time of fasting, a spiritual experience for the Lord, where he's tested by the devil. And there's three testings there that you can find in Matthew chapter 4, for example. Anyways, and so there they are, and they say, you know what? That spiritual experience is one that over the 40 days, it would be beneficial to followers of Jesus to have some type of corresponding kind of experience. Like that ought to just, as Jesus humbled himself before the Lord and depended on God, we know we're dependent on God, and it would be good for us to humble ourselves over 40 days like Jesus did and just rely on God to sustain us and provide what we need, because that's truly the heart of the season leading up to Easter. And the idea was that, well, during that 40 days, well, what are you going to do, right? They said, well, you would spend more time in prayer, and you would spend time reading the scriptures, and you would spend time helping the poor. You say, well, I already do those things. And they did those things. But the idea was that they would sort of, you'd say, up the ante. You ever heard that phrase, right? You just sort of step it up a notch, if you will. You go above and beyond what you might normally do as your spiritual rhythm and your relationship with God. So that's kind of was the general idea of what was supposed to happen. Now, if you go over the years, you can notice how it's just progressively gotten more relaxed, and where it started as food and drink only, it's kind of progressed to could be other things in your life, and saying, well, it doesn't really matter because the idea is still the same, a spiritual preparation for a spiritual celebration. That sense of fasting and abstaining and relying, depending on God, which I'm going to talk about in a little while. So that's kind of the short and the skinny of what Lent is. Why might it be helpful in our own spiritual relationship with God to practice some that kind of observance, spiritual observance, during these 40 days, right, leading up to, which actually be 46 days, right, literally, but the 40 that leads up to Easter. Can I give you three? Why do we always have to do three? I don't know. But that's what I'm doing today. I want to offer you three that I see when I look at the season of Lent that I think can be helpful for us as Christians to really help inspire and encourage and develop our faith, our Christian faith. One of them is this. I think that we ought to consider that when we think about Lent, that Lent helps us to tell God's story. Now, when I say that, let me also say isn't every day an opportunity to tell God's story? Be prepared, right, in season, out of season, to give a reason for the hope that you have, and that's always connected to this gospel story. So there's reason that we ought to always be ready to know and to think and to share God's story and to tell that. And Sundays, that's what we do, right? We're telling the story, and this is what's so exciting and brings so much joy as we sing and pray, and I try to teach and share with you. But the Bible is a sacred book for us in the church. And we believe that the Bible tells a story. It tells God's story. And in that story, we have the gospel. And the gospel tells the story of Jesus as a part of that big, grand story. It's a story that begins in Advent. You think, well, shouldn't it begin in January? That's when everything else begins. Well, when it comes to the Christian year, how we flow through the year, our Christian year really begins at Advent. It begins with the birth of Jesus Christ. And then we follow along through a little early part of the year of kind of talk about, right, in his growing up and da-da-da. And then come time to Easter, we've moved on. Now he's an adult and he's going to the cross. And he is then 3 days later, what? Resurrected, raised from the dead, right? And so we're telling this story of when he was born and when he died for the sins of the world and when he was raised for us and when he ascended into heaven and when the Holy Spirit came after that and when the church was going out and moving on and being persecuted and being inspired and led and encouraged and built up and being so effective to advance the kingdom of God. We have the story we keep telling. And in the midst of all of that, we're going back to the Old Testament, aren't we? And we're showing how the story that's happening in the new is something that God has been building and writing chapters to all along. The whole thing's been pointing to the coming of Jesus being the Messiah. Like, it's all right there for you. In Advent, we remember Jesus is born to be God with us, Emmanuel. And when we advance in the story, we get to Easter, we remember that he goes to the cross and he's resurrected, and essentially to be God for us, to be on our behalf, to do what he did on our behalf. The sacrifice is perfect life for our imperfect one. Lent helps us tell that story. We're already in the story. And Lent's the time we kind of pinpoint our focus and we say, here's what we're focusing on, this part of the story of what Jesus did. So we could receive forgiveness and eternal life with the very God who created us. One of the things that I think of, tell me if you've seen this before, there's a little image that I've seen occasionally. Throw it up on the screen if you would. Here, have you ever, you guys seen that before? Some of you ever seen that before? This is so fun. Sometimes I've seen it as stickers like on a car, you know, or a bumper sticker or something like that. And it's, for me, it's the story in a nutshell, right? It's, he came down from heaven. He went to the cross. He died for us. He's buried in the tomb. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And one day he's coming again. That's the gospel in a nutshell right there, right? And the season of Lent says, I know the whole story. But I want to take these 40 days to help tell a very critical part of that story. And that's the story of the cross and the tomb. Because people need to know what the cross did for us. And they need to know what the empty tomb means for all to call the name of Jesus. It means the promise of a resurrected life from the dead, because that is reality. That's part of the story that's still being written, okay? And Lent helps us to dial in and say, that's part of it. Let's not turn away. Let's look at it, right? Let's focus on it. Which gets me to really my second reason, and I think that is that Lent amplifies the beauty of salvation. How many think salvation is something that is absolutely amazing and wonderful and beautiful, that you have through Jesus the gift of eternal life with God? Absolutely. Yes, in the back. There's like, yes, waving in the back. I love it. Absolutely. Truth is that we're sinners since the time we were conceived in our mother's womb. In fact, Psalm 51:5 says, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And the reality with being sinful is that born in a sinful nature is that sin separates us from God. Okay? Sin cannot be in the presence of God in harmony with God. It just doesn't work that way because God is a holy God, right? So sin separates us from God, and that's the story back in Genesis, okay? All right. The other reality is that we as human beings can do nothing in and of ourselves in our own physical capacity or mental capacity to do anything that will reconcile us to God. In other words, that God would go, well, you're good now. Look how hard you worked. Look what a good nature you have. What great philosophy you have. Look at all these good works, all these people that you have just blessed, and you fed the poor and the hungry, and you have just done amazing good deeds. Oh my goodness, the world's a better place for you. It doesn't work that way. The Lord looks at us, and He either sees the righteousness of Christ upon us through salvation by our faith, or He doesn't. And those whom He sees the righteousness of Christ, He says, well done. And to those He does not see the righteousness of Christ because they have chose to ignore the truth of Jesus Christ and the gospel, He says, be separated from me. For me, when I think of the season of Lent, it's a time for us as the church to say, I own who I am. I'm not running from it. I'm okay with that. I'm a sinner saved by grace. My only hope is in Jesus Christ. And I'm okay with that. And I trust that He knows what's good for me, and I know that He's working on my behalf, and I know that there's going to come a day, either when I breathe my last or He returns, where He's going to welcome me because I believe in Jesus. The good thing for Lent that I really like is the church is very good to recognize the gift of salvation, which we all do. But you know, the beauty of seeing something is to recognize the other side, the fact that the truth of what makes it so beautiful. To look at salvation and to go, this is amazing. What a gift. Because you see, without it, I know where I'd be. And yeah, that's dark and discouraging and maybe a little depressing, disheartening. But Lent says, look at it. Look at it. Because that's your truth. That's your reality. That's who you are apart from salvation in Christ. So when we sing in Christ alone, right? We sang that on purpose today. Because it is through Christ alone that we are saved. We need to see both sides of that, right? You follow me? And for me, that's what Lent does. It says, don't run from who you are apart from Jesus. Stare it in the face and own it. But at the same time, confess who Jesus is to you and celebrate His goodness and the hope you have because of Him. Do both. Both are important. I love that. Kind of reminds me of, how many of you had VCRs? Remember VCRs? Okay, how many of you enjoy a DVR? Maybe some of you, a little bit, Yeah, we weren't, anyways. Who doesn't know what a VCR is? Okay, I was just checking. I was going to say, like, ask somebody, right, you know that. On VCRs, right, do you remember when you would plug that bad boy in and then all of a sudden something would be flashing you in the face? What was that? The time. Like 12, right? And then you had to have an associate's degree in computer programming in order to figure out how to actually change it to the right time. And that mattered, right, because you wanted to record at the right time. Well, you know, now I've got these DVRs and so on, and you just plug that bad boy in, and it just sets the time all by itself, and you go, I got it good, man. I'm living the high life. This is so much nicer, right? When you have something that is so nice, it does help you to appreciate the before when it wasn't near as nice. That's just the analogy, right? And that's kind of they did. I think for Lent, that's part of what that should be for us in our spiritual journey in these 40 days. Amplify the beauty of salvation and encourage us to take time to reflect. I know we have a number of parents here, so I want to ask you and see if you remember this. Have you ever done this, like said this, or you've ever had to do this because of your parents or grandparents? You ready for this one? Here it is. I want you to go sit in the corner and think about what you just did. All right. So why might parents or grandparents or whoever do that? Because we believe that children have the ability, if they sit down, take a time out, where they sit or stand, doesn't matter. But the point is, if they just take time to reflect on what they did and the ramifications of what happened and this, you know, there's a better way and so on and so forth, however you want to unpack that, that they have the opportunity to learn, to develop, right? Okay, yes. Otherwise, we're just being mean, and it's like, well, that's fair too, I guess, but probably not. So I better say this now. Thinking about Lent is not like sitting in a timeout, so don't chase that rabbit this morning. But as we approach the celebration of Jesus' resurrection, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, whatever term you want to give it, Lent invites us to reflect on our deep need for God's grace in our lives. And that's where fasting comes in. So enter Jesus, 40 days of fasting in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4. So let me just quickly kind of give a synopsis on this. Jesus has been baptized by, anybody remember who? John the Baptist, where? In the Jordan River. And so then the Spirit of God leads him out into the wilderness where he fasts and prays for 40 days and 40 nights, which point, when he's done, he's hungry. Now, during that time, who shows up to tempt Jesus? Satan, okay? So when he does this, if you go read that story, don't do it right now, but if you go read that story, it's not coincidence that the very first temptation is, do you, anybody remember? Remember online too? Huh? Stones into bread. Aha. That's important. So when he does this, Jesus responds by quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8. He goes back, right? Because he doesn't have a New Testament. All he has is the old scriptures, right? So, but he quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8. And he says what? Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Absolutely. Well done. So we have a story where Jesus is by himself. The Spirit of God is, of course, with him. He's out in the wilderness. And while he's there, he has this physical need because he is hungry. You love that thunder. So, all right, good. So his physical hunger, I want you to notice this. This is important. His physical hunger prompts this awareness that he addresses that he needs God's help. For man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That even he, who is the Son of God, fully man, fully God, still needs sustenance from God's presence at work within him. For he's one with God. So it's very natural. We would expect that to be the case. So Jesus is fasting, knows he needs God's help. He's not doing this whole thing for fun. Nobody does for fun. It's not the point, right? He has this challenging spiritual experience that's an act of worship for him, where he's expressing and putting himself in a position where he is choosing willingly to depend on God to sustain him through his physical weakness of having fasted. You imagine if you had fasted for 40 days, that you're going to be pretty tired and worn down, right? It's physiological, right? And so don't miss the fact that Jesus, fully man, is he is fully God, right? So, and that's what we want. Matthew wants us to see when he says Jesus was hungry. When you see that he's fully man here and he is hungry too, how do you feel and how do you tend to react when you get super hungry? Don't answer that. Don't answer it. Let it go. Just hangry? Everybody heard? Everybody? Yeah, heard? Okay. All right. And so like a child who reflects during that time out so they can develop, we too reflect as we take the time to fast so that we can develop a growing thankfulness for God being our true sustainer, provider in our lives of all that we have need of, and especially of Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. That's the general idea of what fasting is to be about as it's used as a spiritual practice in the 40 days of Lent. I love Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, and I want to share this with you because, you know, when we spend time sort of leaning into God, does that make sense if I say that, talk about leaning into God, that sense of saying, you know what, I'm just going to inhale grace and exhale worship, right? So I'm just going to, God, all that you can give to me is good, and I know that you can provide for me, and I depend upon you, and I'm just going to lean into you and just praise you and thank you in prayer and worship and just stand on your grace in this moment and not my own strength. That whole idea, okay? That's the concept. For us to do that in the season of Lent is to include with it the understanding of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And so if you have, I'll just quote it for you. If you're writing notes, this would be one you'd want to certainly write down. It says, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for we are saved by grace through faith, and this not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that nobody can boast about it. So that nobody can say, I got it because I did X or Y, or because I did A and B, and you only did C. You should have worked harder. No! It's a gift that God gives freely to all who call upon Jesus in faith. He said, I give it to you. I want you to have that. I don't want you to be proud of what you've done. I want you to be proud of what I've done for you. Period. Like, that's the end of the idea right there. So that sense of reflecting is a time to reflect on what God has done for me that I could not do for myself. And it just as much recognizes what the victory of an empty cross and an empty tomb means as it does the reason that I need that in my life. Sometimes we don't want to sit in the reality of our inadequacies because it makes us feel uncomfortable, and we don't like to feel that maybe we're not good enough in some regard. But sometimes we need to sit there and realize that I'm not good enough to earn God's love. I'm not good enough to earn God's forgiveness. There is nothing in me that is good enough. It's a gift that God gives to me. He's good enough. And in Him, I am good enough to stand before the throne where He welcomes me by my faith. For it is the righteousness of Christ that He sees upon me. Nothing right within me other than the rightness of Christ. And I just go, God, that goodness, right? What He's done, who He is, and what I have in Him. Oh, and I just say, thank you, Lord Jesus. For me, I think that's kind of the idea of Lent. It's a season where we just keep doing that again and again and again. And whether we fast or not, that's up to you. Remember, the church doesn't say you have to do that. It doesn't make you any better or any worse if you don't. It's an option of what you can do as a spiritual practice to help sort of heighten that sense of, man, I really do depend on God every single day for everything I need. That's the idea, right? So Lent is that 40 days of spiritual preparation for spiritual celebration on what day? Easter. There we go. There we go. So Lent's leading us to Easter. It's helping us tell the story, right, that we're coming to the resurrection of Christ on Easter. It's a wonderful time that just says, I get to look at the beauty of what God has done for me in Jesus that I can't do on my own. That's the beauty of salvation, right? So it just amplifies that. Oh, that's good to just spend time looking at that and thinking about it and to go, wow, how blessed am I because of Jesus in me. Man, I wouldn't trade that for the world. Thank you, God. And he agrees. It's my own cheering section. So that's the, for me, I think that's the simplicity of Lent, and that's kind of the heartbeat of why the church has done it, why it can still be helpful for us today in our own Christian walk to practice some measure of that 40-day season. If nothing else, it's maybe just having a daily prayer that, you know, says, God, I thank you for who you are. I recognize who I am and that I am my fullest potential in Jesus Christ alone. Thank you for saving me, for sanctifying me, setting me apart. Thank you that one day you're going to return and bring me home with you. And I know that day's a coming, even though it's not here today. So, Lord, help me today because I'm dependent on you for everything this day is going to put on my path. And to you be the glory through me today, Lord, for that's my heart's desire. Maybe it's some kind of prayer like that every day when you get up. And you go, I don't know where today is going to lead, but I'm just going to go. And it's going to be what it's going to be. And I don't know if I'm going to like it, but I know God loves me. And I know he's working for my good, even in the things that I don't like. And I have peace with that. God is bigger than war. God is bigger than heartache. God is bigger than sin and shame. God is bigger than addiction. God is brighter than the darkest night. God's love lasts longer than any human being can ever give to you because it's eternal. He is God. And it's him we worship. Whew. I like it. It's good, right? Like, that's what it is. This is a great time of year. We praise God. You know, not me. We just praise the Lord. God is so good. This is such a wonderful season of year for the church. So, with all that being said, may the Lord inspire you and encourage you in your worship this season. And so I want to invite our worship team to come back up here today and close us out in song. And then we're going to transition into lunch and our ministry fair. And it's going to be super, super good.